Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
What's up, ladies?
Y'all, don't be a live one. You see, we got the guest in the building, the guest. So, we're going to kick it off. But first off, I'll just ask real quickly, how are you ladies doing? How's everyone doing this lovely day?
Beautiful, honey. Now that I'm here, okay. Becoming Eva type of day. Come on now.
Yes.
I feel like, because my day is always so busy with my four kids and work and all the things, like when I have a chance to do Becoming Eva and get some adult time in there, I love it.
Come on now.
This is your exhale time, LaToya, exhale time. So yes. Woo. Okay, y'all, we are in the place. All right. And y'all, if you don't know, you about to know that you are in the presence of CHH royalty. Okay. Like, for real, this is a queen, all right? So we have special guest Dice Gamble in the building.
How y'all doing?
So excited. And I was telling Toya, we got a tag team on this introduction because she literally does all the things, okay? So I'm going to kick it off and then I'm going to pass it over to Toya, okay? So the amazing Dice Gamble is an American Christian hip hop artist, okay, y'all? She's originally from Evansville, Indiana. Of course, she got roots in the A, which we will get into. Okay. And she's a versatile talent. Okay. Most of y'all know she came up in the rap game, but I mean, she has dabbled into so many other things, from singing to writing to poetry, producing, vocal production. She's a worshiper, hallelujah, a ministry host, podcast host, small business owner, mogul in the making. I heard my husband, I'm still his, he called you the she mogul. Okay. Actress, all of the above. And then I'm tagging Toya to give you a little more detail.
Yes. She has released albums such as Crazy Praise, Soul Gamble, Bet on Love, Street Gospel, Volume 1, and Beautiful. And she's also involved as the CEO of CHH University, and she co-hosts radio shows, including Stellar Kingdom Choice on The Fix Radio and Holy Culture, as well as reaching audiences on Sirius XM and Power 89.1.
Hey, wow. Give it up for Dice Gamble.
I can't wait to meet this lady. Listen, that is insane. Wow, that's a lot. That is a lot. And I thank you both for having me here. It's an honor to be here. And I had no idea that I did all that, but thanks for reminding me. Yeah, it's just been a blessing. It's been a blessing to get to do that. So thank you for reminding me.
Amen.
Very grateful for that.
Out here doing all the things and still more to come. So y'all, we're going to dive into that. But first up, we're going to take it back. Okay, y'all, we're going to start. We want to hear your origin story. Okay. I feel like every amazing superhero has an origin story. And we got to dive into yours. Okay. So we want to know where you're from. Of course, we mentioned Evansville, Indiana, but what was it like growing up there? What was your journey like with Christ? How did you end up in CHH? All of that. So we'll start with Baby Dice for a minute. And just take us through that. You know, what was it like growing up in Evansville, Indiana?
I loved growing up in Evansville, Indiana. Back in the day, it was super safe. You know, we have one of those communities where if you went to somebody's house, you could just walk in. My parents, they got married, got divorced. And it is what it is. But my grandmother, because my mother was, she was pregnant with me at 17, had me at 18. So my grandmother, my aunties kind of stepped in. So I had a great tight knit community that kind of protected me. Grew up definitely in the hood, you know, and some of my family just, they have super hood, but I had a balance of people who served the church. My grandmother played the piano for the church. My aunts and uncles, they sang. My father's a pastor, you know? So it's like I had that, but then I also had my brother sold drugs and, you know, we got a hood. It's just hood. So it was like a perfect blend of you got enough street, you got enough Jesus, and by the grace of God, you know, you got to see another day. But it was pretty cool. It was cool. I was ready to go though. I was ready.
Why were you ready to go?
Ready to go. I mean, after high school, I got a scholarship for architecture and I ended up going to school in Indianapolis, Indiana. But music was my heart. You know, I had been dabbling in music since I was in the eighth grade with rap, you know, and things like that. And I was like, man, I want to be the next Salt and Pepper or MC Light or, you know, whoever the girl was who was rapping. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sing for the life of me, you know. So everybody else had these vocals just, doing all the runs. And I'm like, you know, so I was like, okay, Jesus, thank you for rap. But I wasn't doing Christian rap. I was just doing regular rap. And so my uncle said, hey, I think you should come to Atlanta because I know you could do what they do. And that's exactly what I did. I got a Greyhound and I was there at age 19, living, sleeping on the couch at my uncle's, going to do open mics. And then I was like, I love it here. And our family's from Georgia. They're from Savannah.
Okay.
So it was just nice to kind of go back to kind of where I was from and then be able to do what I love to do. And in that era, of course, being in Atlanta in the 90s was perfect. I mean, first of all, the 90s were perfect. I'm sorry if you weren't born around that. I mean, hip hop was perfect in the 90s. And so being able to, I had to, you know, get into a lot of music in Georgia, you know, so, but meeting all the superstars, man, that was just the life. So that was kind of how Baby Dice left Indiana and got home to Atlanta. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, and we're going to circle around because I know you lived a lot of life between, you know, getting here to Atlanta and, you know, and between that and becoming a CHH artist, but take us on the journey, like just with your personal relationship with God, because I know you were saying just that dichotomy of you grew up in a household of, you know, church going parents, grew up in the church, but at the same time, you in the hood, you dealing with, you know, like you're saying, your brother's doing stuff on the side. There's a lot of different dynamics. So tell us about your personal walk. And like for you, when did it really become real?
Yeah. So, of course, just like the average, you know, Christian, you grow up on somebody else's faith first before you really get that relationship with Christ. I gave my life to Christ when I was 5. I went down front of the church and took the chair because my cousin was going. And back in the day, you used to have to walk all the way down front and sit there. And I want to give my life to the Lord. Did that. But of course, especially when your family grows up in the church and that's all you hear, you're just going to do the opposite when you get out of the house. I was dead set on not serving the Lord. I was like, I love you, Jesus, but I am not going to be up in the church. Okay. I'm in Atlanta. I'm about to do anything and everything I want to do, you know? And so I was searching, you know, by the time I got to Atlanta, I loved being able to do the music, but you're also looking for who you are, you know, when you're a teenager. You're like, okay, I'm going in my 20s. I need to figure this out, you know? So you're just trying it all. And some people never make it back from like, you know, drugs and alcohol and relationships. By the grace of God, he always protected me, you know, like even in all of my sin, all of the sin, the biggest sins, you know, he was like, oh, I just got to keep her, you know, I got to keep her safe. And that's pretty much my relationship. It was one, I always loved the Lord, but I was still seeking because I was like, is there something else out there? What about Buddha? What about Allah? You know, what about, like, it's a very natural process that I don't think we talk about enough in our faith, where it's almost like, oh, if I say I'm doubting my faith, then that means I'm not saved. It's like, no, that's not it. You know what I'm saying? But if you think it's something else, you better dismiss it. You know what I'm saying? You have to confront it. And so, yeah, I got to walk kind of along that path. But anyways, but yeah, in Atlanta, God keeping me, not serving Jesus at all, you know, but I love the Lord. I still loved him. Yeah. Yeah. Total rebel. My grandmother was just praying. You know, when they say you got a praying grandmother, she was praying. Oh, baby, I've been praying for you. I'm like, you need to pray harder, girl, because I'm sick.
The turning point that made you want to fully submit to God? Like, what was the turning point?
Beautiful question, right? A loaded question. One where, you know, so God has always interacted with me. Some people have never been able to feel the presence of God. Mm-hmm. He's always done this close thing with me, you know? Mm-hmm. one time I gave my Bible away and I was making an excuse about having a Bible. And I told this story. I was in the car with my girlfriend and we were driving and there was a book in the middle of the road and the pages were going back and forth. And she was like, "That's a Bible." I said, "First of all, there ain't gonna be no Bible. I know we were just saying, I was just saying I needed a Bible. You know, I'm making all excuses. It was a Bible. It was a Bible." And it was the kind of Bible that I actually wanted, just random on a random road. I was ready to give up on Christ. I had had my son. I had been married, got divorced, you know, living in Lawrenceville and in public housing, you know, and I was going to drop my son off that summer. And I was so mad at God. I got in the car and I had a little cross hanging and I just hit the cross real quick. And I was like, you need to show me you're real. You know, that was how I'd be talking to God. Like, you need to pull up, you know what I'm saying? Cause I'm about to go do something I might not be able to come back from, you know? And that next day, Ifani, he comes knocking on my door. And he was a singer, but he went to a church, Pastor Chris Bianchi's church. And he's like, "Sister, are you saved?" You know, when he had knocked on my door and I was like, "Yeah, I'm saved." We said, "Well, why don't you come to the church? You know, we're having an event." And Platinum Souls was there. A whole lot of other CHH artists were performing. And that was the beginning of the turnaround. Mm. I still didn't give my life all the way to him. You know, I still was tipping in and out, doing the absolute most, like he couldn't see me. And I ended up being in a few car accidents. And that's what turned it all around for me. Was I walked away unscathed every single time. And by the time I got in the third one, and we were on Highway 85 going north, and I was like, "Okay, I heard God say, give your life to me, you know, like just give your life to me." And I had to sit with that. And after much prayer and some counseling and things like that, I just said, "I got to give it all up." And at that time, my music career was about to take off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we were already doing Hot 97 stages in downtown. And we're traveling. I'm renting 5 cars at once for me and my crew. Like I'm writing checks, like money. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Like the thing that you want. And, you know, I'm going from studio to studio. So, and people know me, you know, like I just pull up, you know, and it was just like about to take off. And God just was like, "Yeah, no. Not that, not right now." So I had started, I was working at a mall, and I know this is long and drawn out. I'm at a Gwinnett Mall and I'm working at Easy Spirit. And I was like, "Okay, Lord, I gave my life to you, but I still love music. You know, I'm going to make positive songs." So I did that. And there was a pregnant lady that came in one day. It was my off day and I was the manager. I was just helping her. She was like, "Who are you? You know, who are you?" You know what I'm saying? I'm like, "I'm the manager. Are you going to buy these shoes?" You know I said, "Don't tell nobody you see me because I'm out of uniform." You know what I'm saying? And she's like, "No, I feel like you do something else." I said, "Yeah, I do. You know, I'm working on some music." I went and got the CD, had about 5 songs, gave it to her, never saw her again. Didn't hear anything about that CD for a year. And then Danny from Holy Hip Hop Records calls and he said, "I just want to apologize to you." He said, "I've been riding around with this CD in my car for over a year." He said, "But I want to sign you, you know." So they had to deal with EMI Gospel. And 2004, that's how you get Crazy Praise, you know. So between 2004, 2005. And it was just like, thank you, God, for, you know, staying with me, even in all my mess and all, just all the stuff I was doing, just the embarrassing stuff. And he just never left me. And he was like, "I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you." So that was pretty much, you know, I ended up rededicating my life to Christ February the 1st, 2004, you know, and that, like, after that, it was just, God has just had me full speed ahead, you know, doing this work, man.
Wow.
And it's a blessing. It was a blessing. There's some other stuff in there too, but that's the main of it. I was like, he gonna kill me if I don't do it. Lord, don't kill me. I was like, he's gonna take me out. He's gonna let me. And really what it is he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, you know? He's just like, "Okay, I keep letting you know that I have purpose for you. But if you don't want it, well, okay."
My goodness.
Yeah.
So many directions I could go here.
Okay, where you want to go?
I mean, so many. I feel like before we, because again, you lived so much life between, you know, moving to Atlanta and Crazy Praise. Yeah. So I'm like, what was that transition like? Like once you got signed to, is it EMI Gospel?
It was Holy Hip Hop Records.
So I mean, you've made connections in the industry. People know you for one thing. You're completely shifting gears. Like, what was that like?
It was difficult when it was time to go back to all the studios I was working out of and let them know. It was difficult when I was around people who would still be, you know, hey, you want to hit this blunt? You want to roll? Can you roll up? No, I cannot. You know what I'm saying? The most difficult part was checking people and just letting them know, like, this is me. You know, I had deals on the table. I mean, deals where I didn't even know. I didn't even care about how to get out of the paperwork. I was just like, I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can't be here anymore. You know, well, can we use your music? You can have all the music, you know. I had people just give me the beats I was using. If you're telling me you about to serve the Lord, you can have all this music. So I was getting all these different reactions. And the only thing I knew was to get myself around a community of believers, because I was from the church. So I was like, you can't be out here on your own walking this path. You know what I'm saying? You're going to need people praying for you, giving you guidance, checking in on you. And so I just made sure to do that. There was a little team called Now Faith, and it was Pastor Benny Foster, and they were like a street ministry, you know? So we would have church in bars. We'd be at 559 right after they, you know what I'm saying? We out Kendall Road and having church, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, still smelling like liquor, just like we were gung ho for the Lord. But the blessing was, it was Bishop C.L. Carter, First Missionary Baptist Church. That's my bishop in Atlanta, Georgia. And he covered us as Now Faith. And so it was nice because we would go, you know, back to First Missionary probably like every month and just be in their service. But other than that, he would pray for us, cover us. And then we would be back out there as guests at different churches, serving other churches. So that's really what kept me was from going back, because it's always easy to go back. You always go back to what you know, what's easy, what's familiar. That's the trick of the enemy.
Yeah.
But you moving forward, you know, being uncomfortable is the hardest thing you'll ever do as a Christian. Facts. And so it was like, you need a team sometimes to say, no, we're going to do this today. Okay. So accountability, to answer the question, is definitely how I was able to kind of keep walking and move forward. Yeah.
Did you have any music mentors that kind of helped you or guide you into like the CHH world?
Well, we didn't have one because it wasn't called CHH. I shared that with somebody the other day. I said, we just now started calling it CHH. When we started doing it, we would call it Holy Hip Hop or Gospel Rap. Yeah. You know, it hadn't been coined CHH yet. But then, you know, it was perfect because I was like, man, I was the first female with a full album on an actual label with major distribution. I will own that. Somebody tried to tell me, oh, no, it was such and such. I said, pull the album up. I'm waiting.
Come on now.
I still ain't got that. I'll be waiting. Show me the album and I'll put some respect. I'll put some respect on it. But I'm just saying, like, the Lord had kept me. And I share this story. I was frustrated about this probably up until I got with Holy Culture, because I was like, even though I was serving, I'm making great music, I'm opening up at creation festivals with the big names that you all know and whatever else, you know, getting my music played and holding on. I was like, man, God, why did you never blow me up though? You know, like I'm rubbing elbows with everybody fame. Like I'm every time I'm on the stage with them, you know what I'm saying? Why did you never blow me up? And he was just like, for such a time as this, you know, I wouldn't be able to do Sirius XM and be with Holy Culture, be with The Fix, if I had just taken off, because I would have never turned around to look for God. I would have been gone. I'd have been like, yeah, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? I'm over here with Eminem, like whoever, like doing my thing. Yeah, for sure. Right, it's over. So he just preserves us, man. That's why I tell people delay is not denial. It's just God is preparing you for what He has for you, or He's preparing that for you, you know? So it's just the perfect setup. And I'm just ever so grateful that He never blew me up and never made me famous, you know, and I never got the callback. I'm like, thank you, God. His no's are protection, you know? And I just wish more people would accept that when the door shuts or something changes, like you just need to give God all the glory and the praise that He's got something better for you. And you got to have that attitude.
that will preach. His nose are protection.
They are. I'm honey, like, they are.
And for the people in the back. That's so good.
If I could go back and listen to all the no's he said initially and just walked on about my business, I would have had so much peace. If you think about it, like, ooh, that time God said no. Yeah, I should have just thank you.
Right.
And just walked on away. Like, thank you, God, for that. No.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like we struggle with our flesh and pride. And you're like, well, why not? I'm just as good as this person or better or like, yeah.
This flesh is a hot mess. Like, okay. It's a whole mess.
You know?
I wish it had a zipper, you know, where you could just take it off. You're like, I'm just so sick of you. You know, just take it off. Like, you can, I'm just tired. You just keep running me the wrong way.
That's real, though. That's real. Toya, did you have anything else for the origin story before we transition on?
Yeah, that's my origin
story. Take your phone into becoming.
Becoming. Oh, Lord.
Yes.
No more baby dice.
No more baby dice. That's so cute.
So I know when we decide to give our lives over to Christ and decide to fully surrender and fully say yes, it's like Satan, his little attacks up like almost immediately, like everything starts going wrong, and you're like, what's happening? I'm trying to do the right thing, I'm trying to serve God. So what were some of those specific challenges that you encountered when you fully surrendered to God in the music industry? And you can also talk about challenges with the church too.
Girl, I done been kicked out of some churches. I think I've talked about this before. There are two victories in Atlanta. You know, one's black, one's white. Well, back in the day, that was the majority of, you know. Mm-hmm. And one, I had actually, my son, he was going to their private school. You know, I'm paying $500 a month or whatever. And I was like coming out of a homosexual relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was at the church signing up for a ministry because at this point, giving my life to Christ, got the music going. I love it here. I'm showing up. I want to serve here. You know what I mean? And so I had signed up and I got a call one day from like a lady that works in a youth department. I just remember her name was Olivia. And she was like, I just had to call you and tell you that you're not going to be able to join. And I was like, what? And she said, like, yeah, we don't have your kind at the church, you know? And I was like, what, is black people? She was like, no, you know, like people who are in a same-sex relationship. I said, I'm not. And she was like, well, we had a young lady call and say that you were, and that she actually lives with you. And so we're going to, these are things you just cannot make up, right? So long story short, the person that I actually was with had saw I had moved on and I was going on to serve the Lord, right? And I made the mistake of keeping the communication. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just blew it up, called the church, and now I can't convince them anything otherwise. Very, very hurtful. So it's so funny because we do this podcast stuff, right? And we hear people say, oh, church. I'm like, y'all have zero idea of when you finally say, yes, God, and you know you've been forgiven, and now you've forgiven everybody, you know what I'm saying? And you're on purpose, in purpose, and just in the place that you're supporting an actual business, not just a church, and then have them reject you and say, you're not wanted here. Okay, that was one. Because you're talking about the enemy. And I love sharing these stories because I want people to know, like, he really do be coming for you, trying to shut you down.
Yeah.
So shout out to Vonnie B with Divine Faith South and North, right? This is back in the day. And she used to do this thing called Stirred Up TV. And I was in a group, right? It was me, Preacher, Majors, and this guy named Cash. We were called The Officials. And so serving once again in my community, doing music, serving. And Bonnie B was very helpful and influential in giving us a platform, not just as ministers, but also to do our music. But she would invite us to youth services so that my whole group could serve. And I loved every minute of it. So we're up north one day, and this guy who's in the group, Majors is his name. I ain't even gonna hold you right now. we were all at the table, and the pastor's armor bearer was there, you know, because we always pray before we go and do ministry, right? And he was like, I'm not doing nothing else with her because she's gay.
Wow.
And so at this point, preacher, shout out to Pastor Benny Foster. He's like holding me down in my chair, right? I got my hand on the table, and Majors had actually had his Bible on the table then. And I was like, bro, what are you talking about? He's like, I looked up online. I put in your real name to see what you owned. And you co-owned a house with that girl. My past. This is my past. Like, yeah. We legitimately are. We at church right now. Like, we are serving. We are in a group together. I didn't told you I'm delivered and changed. But wow. And yet you still. And this, and you call yourself my brother.
Yeah.
Right. And we had to go minister. Let me tell you how God turned this on his head. And I've never shared this story out loud anywhere like this. So we still had to go minister to all the youth, right? Mm-hmm. That they've been waiting on us. So it's just taken every type of prayer. And my team, once again, to say, you're here for a reason. We're not going to worry about that. Let's go. So we're all on the stage. It's myself. Majors is to my right. I see mm-hmm. him out of the right side of my eye. And then the other bros are on stage too. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, I think Vonnie had called for prayer, you know, so mm-hmm. we got young people coming to the front and we got lines, right? I just see Majors kind of do his head. He looks at me and he just kind of shakes his head like this. And I'm like, he's still mad and disgusted for whatever. And so whatever. So we finish our lines, right? And one of my elders, she's shout out to Jerry Brown, Pastor Jerry Brown. She's calling for me to come to the back. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to get kicked out of another church. Like, I just can't go to church for nothing. I just want to serve God. And so this is so crazy how God has always protected me and loved me and cared for me. I was thinking when I saw Majors just shaking his head, I'm like, he's going to start something else again. Mm-hmm. They got me in a room. It's me, Pastor Jerry Brown, and they bring another little girl in there. And Jerry was like, I just wanted to ask you to pray for her. She's struggling with homosexuality. Absolute redemption in 30 minutes from him trying to call me out from in the back. And God just had to confirm, like, you're right where you need to be. Just don't move. Just keep trusting and keep believing. So, and I share that story. Shout out to Majors too. I've seen him, you know, wherever. He's like, I ain't gonna believe you ain't gay though. God tell me so. I'm like, well, I guess God done told him because he never came back, you know, messing with me.
Right? What happened to him? Did he ever apologize? Girl, like, what?
He's, and I love him, but we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, right? And the word of our testimony. And I share that with people because we talk about church hurt all the time, and you have a choice. So either you can believe people or believe God. And each and every time I just kept believing God. I was like, man, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just going to keep on going. But I can't just allow a church that kicked me out or somebody in my group that was accusing me to stop me from my ministry.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, oh, I'm just so church hurt. I just don't want to put myself back in a relationship. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to get, it's like, if you don't get up and get out and go help the people that truly need you right now. So yeah, that's, so you talk about the enemy, like, and those are just two that are just on the top of my head. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I got a lot more that I could probably share, but it's just, early on, I experienced the rejection. But get this, I had been in the world because I was doing secular music. So I had seen everything.
Yeah.
So I was grateful that I was able to have and walk through different types of lives, you know, so I could kind of be like, I got to be a little more forgiving and know that just because you in the church don't mean you got it together. Okay.
Yeah.
And I got to know that. So, you know, just loving people and forgiving people instantly is definitely a key. But yeah, as soon as you give your life to Christ, you're going to start to see where the enemy is, you know, because you were blind. You were actually serving the enemy. So he was your friend. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You was working for him. You was probably, he wasn't messing with you because you was already, he was already doing what he needed you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have several comments, but I'm just gonna stick with just two or three. Okay.
Let's go.
I mean, but you hit the nail on the head with the church hurt piece. That is, you know, it hits close to home. I read earlier this year a book by John Bevere called The Bait of Satan, and it was talking about offense and how literally the definition of offense is a trap. And it's like literally a trap that the devil sets to keep us from fulfilling our God-given purpose because we're hurt or because we're harboring bitterness or resentment, you know, and in a lot of cases, you know, that's connected to church hurt. So thank you for sharing that because I feel like we use church hurt as an excuse
to not do. Not,
yeah. Like we're doing the person, like we're hurting the person and we're hurting ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? Number one, that. Number two, thank you for sharing your testimony about coming out of homosexuality. Like that again hits close to home for me as well. I have an experience where I came out of a same sex relationship, and for you to encounter the, for you to encounter just being like mistreated basically because of your testimony as if it's worse than anyone else's. But I want to ask you how did you overcome, number one, and what would you say to someone that is struggling with that? Because right now in general, we live in the Jesus and. You know what I'm saying? It's like Jesus and
they need to close that church.
Jesus and
that's the worst church ever.
And now we literally have a lot of people that name the name of Jesus Christ that profess to be Christians but are living in the homosexual lifestyle, are in same-sex relationships, and they're like, well, the Lord loves me. And I'm like, you're absolutely right, he loves you. The question is, you know, do you love him enough to surrender whatever, not just that, but whatever to him? So,
you know, I appreciate that. Definitely. And I didn't even ask you if I could just share anything on this platform. I was just running my mouth because that's what I do every day. I'm like, la, 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 la. I'm free. That's why I was like, look, if you want to know, ask me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And trust me, you can go online and verify it, whatever I'm talking about. I would say the number one trick of the enemy is identity, right? It's him getting you to not realize who you are, who called you, who purposed you, who designed you, who loves you, who wants you to know you're wanted. It's his number one trick. So if he can get you to cower in a corner because somebody said something to you. You were talking about offense earlier, right? I'm not offended by anything because if you're talking about me, you're talking to God. You know what I'm saying? Because he's the filter now. So it's like the blood is okay, I hear you, but you're not talking to me. You can call me out my name, black, blue. You can say what you want, but you're not really talking to me though. Yeah. Not no more, you know, because my story is his story now. Amen. So this is not about me, you know, adding up checks and balances of, you know, you trying to offend me at this point. You look silly, you know what I'm saying? But identity is the number one trick, man. And for people who, because we have homosexuals on our show, you know, we've talked about LGBTQ plus, all of the different things and who participates in what, and they could be Christian. Like, let's let's keep it 1,000. I'm of the belief that I want to honor God, right, in every single way that I can. And I mean, I want to put forth the effort to do it, not just say, oh, I can go do this and God's going to still love me, or I can go do them and God still loves me, or I can still say this and God's going to still love me, because now I'm risking operating in mercy. I'm no longer in grace. It's straight up mercy, because only by the grace of God are you getting away with these sins and whatever it is you're doing. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I made this comment the other day because I was having a conversation with a brother and he had the nerve to start talking about homosexuals. And I said, well, if I was in your bedroom, are you having sex that honors God?
Come on.
And can we watch? Because what you're trying to say to me is that a person is about to die because of how they slept with somebody yesterday. Is that true of you and your wife?
Come on.
I'm not even going to hold you. Like, so what are we really talking about? And I think that if we would start to preach the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to deal with folk,
Amen.
People would get delivered instead of us putting our mouth on them all the time. And it's like, how about you learn to love people? How about that? But not only that, I'm going to love you. I'm going to teach you the gospel. We're going to reconnect again. I'm going to hold you accountable. You hold me accountable. Iron's no sharpen iron, but we should be growing together. Yeah. And I should be trusting and praying for you in the way that you say you need deliverance. Mm-hmm. So if you tell me you want to get free, we about to get free. Mm-hmm. But if you tell me, no, I'm good with my sin. Okay. I'm going to be praying that God wrecks whatever you're in right now. That's my new prayer. So it's like, and there's nothing wrong with us praying for each other in that way, but we got to learn to let God be God. And I that's how I feel about it, because we can sit here and preach what people should be doing until we pass out.
Yeah.
And it's a million other things that people could preach and say, I'm going to need you to lose some weight. I know you straight up in gluttony.
Come on. Huh?
I saw you eat six times at Thanksgiving. That's in your Bible to not be that way. So don't come for me. Don't come for me.
Yeah.
So don't pick and choose what sin you want to point out.
Huh? Exactly.
I know your finances is jacked up. I want you to open your checkbook right now before you talk about who I'm sleeping with. Let's compare to sin. Now, when we start to do that, who's calling out who?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think we should allow people to not hear from us. And I think we do this very well in our communities. And I'll say Black and Brown communities, because we struggle so much and we are often kind of like second or left behind or got to claw our way to the top. Mm-hmm. We okay sins. Oh yeah. Where my cussing saints? Why are we still cussing? Me and Focus go back and forth on the show, you know what I'm saying? And we both do believe it. It was like, I'll be like, dang, I want to play their song, but they legit got a cuss word. How you doing, CHH? You got, because you had to think about that, but you're not thinking about the flock that's following you. So why would you put the N word or the S word? What are you thinking, right? Because we're supposed to be living changed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't dropped nothing on your toe while you was recording that. You know what I'm saying? You had to write that. You wrote that. And then you repeated it. And then you stacked it. You stacked it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it's like, we just got to get better. You know what I'm saying? And I think, I say it all the time. I said, this is my year. If I need to get it off my chest, it's coming off my chest. Mm-hmm. I think it should be like that. You know, when it comes to how we're operating in the church, Bible says, hey, if something going on, you need to go to your brother or sister. They don't hear you. Take somebody, go with them. They don't do that. Go before the church. Follow the rules. They work, turns out. But we have to stop trying to play church the way we want to play church. It don't work like that. Like, we were talking about the Holy Spirit the other day on The Fix. And I said, yeah, we put the Holy Ghost in a 45-minute box. Okay, Holy Ghost, you're going to come out at 8. Boom. You got to be gone because the parking lot going to be full. We got to have a second. Now, okay, Holy Ghost, come now. Come now. Okay, heal everybody. Let everybody fall out. Everybody receive. Okay, goodbye. We're going to do an extra service at 5:30, Holy Ghost. And that's when you pull up. And that's how we rolling right now. And then we wonder why nobody's delivered. Nobody's saved. Nobody's set free. No, people don't even know what the Holy Spirit is, because we like, I got to hurry up and get it done. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see what God do. Because guess what? I've learned he don't move when I say move.
Come
on. I can ask him to, but he is time. We run on a watch. He ain't looking at his Rolex like, oh, I better get on over to second missionary. It don't work like that.
He is time.
Is he? And I'm like, you know, I just, my prayer is for us to change as believers and actually get back to what we know. Right. So, and I shared this story before. I'm going to go ahead and give it again, because I just feel like maybe somebody needs to hear that. We're spoiled in America doing church. Absolutely rotten. We're so free. We can say whatever, create a t-shirt, a podcast. We love Jesus. We could just scream it from the rooftop. We can go in the middle of anywhere and be like, hallelujah, get out. Like, and ain't nobody about to shut us down. If anything, we'll get like 25 people to just join in. It's not like that all over the world. Wow. And we've been given that command to go, right? How will they know if we don't go, right? We are called to actually go. We stop going. And I'll be real with you. And I can't even go to Haiti anymore because of where it is right now. But when I went on a mission trip there, we were giving out Haitian Creole Bibles, right? Now, mind you, they speak French, and Creole, you know, and whatever else they want to speak, but they were not speaking English. And I remember we were doing this women's event where we had 150 women that came down from Bayonne out of the mountains. And this is outside Port-au-Prince. And we had to pray. And it took everything in me. I'm like, God, I don't know how to pray for people that live in huts and don't have on shoes and they don't have running water. And I don't know when the last time they ate. And not to mention, we're in a village where they perform voodoo and stuff. So how do you pray? It can't be this, praise the Lord, everybody.
Yeah.
God is good all the time. It ain't no God is good all the time because they don't know all that. So we over here having fun, thinking we having church, thinking we're like doing something because we know these little Christianese sayings. It don't work like that. You got to get back to, this is Jesus. He came for you. He died for your sins. God raised him on the third day so that you could have life and eternity. Right. And yes, he is able to forgive you right now and change you, set you free where you will live forever with him. You know, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you may be also believing the Father, but also me. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. Like, we only got one king who came, took the keys from hell, and actually knew where he was going and what he's doing. And so it's like, we got the power of the Holy Spirit as the kingdom and church, but we don't tell people about this. Like, we just go about our day like it's just all about the internet. And it's sad because it's like, how much of Jesus are we teaching? And this is for church too.
Yeah.
It's for church. If I went all over the world and said to each pew, where is the Roman road? How do I lead someone to Christ today? If it depended on your life, your kid's life, your husband and your wife's life, and you guys are Christians, y'all been here for 25 years, tell me how to do it. It's different. It's just different. And I just pray that we don't have this feel good faith anymore. I really want us to disrupt everything the enemy stole, all the people that he's stolen, like all the people we got strung out and confused, and anybody who's not walking this life out, getting the blessings that God has for them. Like, we should be fighting for them, you know, everybody, the widow, you know what I'm saying? The homeless. Yes. I mean, we've had this mandate forever and it still kind of looked the same. And we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, thousands years ago. Like, why is it still the same? We need to do the work. So just becoming the hands and feet of Jesus is a pet peeve for me. It's a pet peeve because I'm like, once you get free, you know your freedom, you know all your blessings. Everybody should have the opportunity. I want all my stuff from Jesus. I be calling Jesus, what you got today? Don't blame. I know you got something for me. I know you got something for me. Where is it? I'm looking for it. I'm listening. Where am I going? To the gas station. I'm gone. Like, and that's how we be rolling. So I just, my prayer is for relationship. And I know I've over talked for like 2 hours now, but it's that identity piece. If the enemy can snatch away that you were sent here for a reason, for God's purpose, and you have protection and heaven hears you every day, it's over. You'll stay in your house thinking you ugly. You'll be in there all week. I'm too ugly to go outside. I'm not joking. We had somebody come on our show. She said she don't even look in the mirror. We see her on TV, by the way. I just want to throw that out there.
Wow.
I don't feel like I'm worthy. Oh, enemy eating your lunch. We're gonna pray right now. And that's how you do it. It doesn't matter if the person's famous or not. When you hear the enemy sitting there eating at them, no. Yeah, we gotta cast that down right now. Okay. Cut the interview.
Cut the whole
interview.
Yeah.
And let's get to this business and get you free so you can actually go do what you were called to do. Got people out here commit suicide. I don't know what my purpose is. Are we gonna come to your house tonight? What time y'all leaving? We not. We gonna be Netflix and chilling because what you said to me, it make no sense. Okay, and we just got to get you through that. Yeah. So we need a few so Jesus can be in the midst. But we gonna be praying all night long. So you might as well turn on the Chosen or King of Kings or something like that. But we We gonna pull you out of that. We're not leaving you. But it's like the fight for the lost that I'm talking about. I'm talking about true fighters. Not I'm gonna call you Friday. No, come over my house right now because I'm on the roof. Come over right now. Like, and I encourage people, like, if you got Christian friends, call them. Shout out to Aniron, and then I'm gonna shut up. Aniron Drury, he was the lead worshiper on the lead team at Quest Community Church in Lexington, Kentucky. It's no longer there.
Oh, wow.
But one day he was like coughing really bad. We all had to go do a song together. And we're in the green room. We're all mic'd up. We got like 10 seconds on the clock. And I said, man, Aniron, I'm gonna pray for you. He said, okay. And then he just got close to me. And I was like, Heavenly Father, like, and later on, I thanked him because I said, I'm married with four children and nobody has ever called me on that ever. As Christians, we say, oh, I'm gonna pray for you. And then we go away.
And move on.
Pray for me right now.
Exactly.
Right now. So it's just stuff like that that I've learned along the way where people have been like, I need it right now. Like, why would you wait till you got home to pray for my cold? Like, hands up, sister. Let's go get the oil, huh? Pray for me now. So,
facts.
Anyway, okay. I'm done.
This is good.
I was like, I was just like, look, I'm here for team get better in Jesus. And that's honestly, that's my true heart. When you're lost and you get found, you should live at that space of the day that you got saved. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, think about the day before you weren't, and then think about how it felt when you came to know Jesus at the cross for real and gave it all and laid it all down. That's the energy. That's where we need to live from every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Thank you.
So good. Thank you for sharing that. Because I mean, honestly, when you talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus, it's convicting. I'm like, Lord, like,
who else?
I got to do better. I have to do, because it's so easy to get comfortable the longer you're saved. But like you were saying, remembering like the day before you heard the good news versus the day you received it and heard
Honey,
the news, like, you
it
know,
should ter- it should terrify you. And you should know somebody is exactly where I was waiting. Waiting on somebody to show them the way, literally waiting on me if I'm close enough, you know. Yeah. And we need to act like people are dying without getting this word, because guess what? They are.
Yeah. My God. Now more than ever. Well, y'all know, you see, we could go on and on here. I do want to talk a little bit more about just your evolution, because I mean, we talked a lot about you, you know, going from doing secular to Christian hip hop. And how now it's evolved even beyond that. I mean, from you being a radio show personality to, you know, owning the CHH University to working on Squad TV. So can you talk a little bit about just, because for me, all of that is you giving back. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have been intentional, to me, at least in this season of your life, with giving back to, you know, to the next generation of CHH, educating those that are around you, like you were saying, being the hands and feet of Jesus in the community. Like, can you talk a little bit about just the season that you're in and how those different hats, roles that you play came to be?
I will definitely say obedience, just when it made no sense, just having a ready yes. Always having a ready yes. Like, God, I can't believe asking me to go do this. Okay, yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you go. And then he just has something beautiful on the other side of it. Like, even, it's so funny because I was working in music, doing things, you know, bad deals, good deals. And I was working on Beautiful, the album, in Seattle, Washington, in my closet, because I just couldn't afford a studio. And not for the initial recordings, you know, and we actually ended up having to leave. I was able to, you know, like, kind of mix some things down, do a few songs in Seattle, but we had to move to South Carolina. I was super depressed. And one of my friends was like, just send me everything. I'm gonna wrap it up for you. I'm gonna get it out. I couldn't take a picture at the time. One of my homeboys did a graphic for me. You know, I end up getting probably like 5 or 6 awards for that album. Mm-hmm. You know, but I was just, every time God was like, just go and just do this and just ask that person, just go and just do this and just, you know, you have not because you ask not. And so my flow has been absolute obedience. Like if God said yes, CHH University, one shirt. I was thinking about this the other day. One shirt looks kind of like the one I have on. And God was like, this was like pre-COVID, you know, and definitely through COVID. And I couldn't tour. We were in a new city in South Carolina. And I was like, man, it's so country down here. Like I love it, but good grief. Like we in Florence, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like we in the cool part. And I was like, God, why you shut my ministry down like that? And he was like, just do a shirt. Just do a shirt, CHH University. Create the company. Do the things. Broke, but I'm like, okay, God, I'm gonna do it. If I gotta get 30 shirts at a time, that's how we rolling. And so I'm doing what I gotta do, man. And fast forward into the future, 5 years, Trig, shout out to Trigger Man. He said, hey, I'm doing this thing called Holy Culture. You know, I picked up the torch. We're gonna do radio on Sirius XM. And I wanna know if you can send me some gear for my DJs. And I'm like, bruh, like, you know, just underneath it, I'm like, why'd you just ask me to come to Sirius? But I'm like, okay, fine, you know what I'm saying? I'm just obedient, like, okay, God, what size you need? I need a 3X, 4X. I'm like, come on, these cost more money, you know, like in my mind, I gotta ship it, you know, I'm like $35 a pop for this package, and I don't even know these dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of your shows, I was like, okay, but I'm like, that's my bro, I love him, he's serving the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. I know if he asks me, I'm doing it because I know he's doing what he's called to do. Did that out of obedience. It was probably like a few months later, Trey called me and said, hey, I got a show. They need a co-host, you know, trying to see if you'd be interested in maybe doing an interview.
Wow.
I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? So it was with Focus. And if you know Focus, you ain't going to see too much on his face change. And he's just very like, you know, he's a man, you know. And so I said, okay, Focus, what are we doing? He's like, yeah, your interview is you're going to be interviewing somebody. I was like, okay. So the next day I said, Trey, bro, I don't even know if he liked me, if he hated me, if I got the job, if I don't. He said, no, he said you was cool. I said, yeah, but he didn't say much. He said, no, he just don't talk much. I was like, okay. But each and every time I've just pulled up and said, have your way, Lord. You know what I'm saying? It just works. And obedience brings blessing. The Bible's very clear about that. Yeah. But I don't think we take it seriously enough. I think sometimes we always act so scary. And it's like, yeah. Why am I? My grandmother said this to me when I was little. You're already at a no. Whatever you do in life, you're already at a no. So you actually putting yourself into a position, you might get a yes. You know what I'm saying? And it's okay to hear a no. You know, no's are a blessing, like we were talking about earlier. But it's the obedience piece for me. So I just keep trusting God, you know what I'm saying? Because he never fails me. So I'm like, if you keep the sun in the sky, why would I just be scary?
Amen.
If I look out there and the sun don't come up today, I'm going to be like, I don't know if I'm going outside, Jesus. I love you, but ooh. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's just obedience and really like partnering with God. I don't think people know the fun they can have in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to come. I don't want to be no boring Christian. It's so much fun over here because the stuff we be doing is a whole mess, but we do it in the protection of the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And I'm just like, he just has everything I want. You know, I think about it, you know, from a selfish aspect. And I even told my husband, I said, I'm a selfish Christian. Whatever the books say, I won't.
Huh? Come on.
I want the houses. I want the gold. I want the opportunities. I want the healing. I want the deliverance. I want the protection. I want the angels. I want the manna. I want the thing. I want all my stuff, right? Because I'm like, if you did it for them, you'll do it for me. And trust me, I'm not limiting what you want to do, God. You know, shout out to Priscilla Shire. I always mess her name up. Mm-hmm. What she said, yeah, if you don't do that, do something better. You know what I'm saying? But like really throwing God all the way out there to where only he could do it. Amen. I love watching him work. It's like, okay, God, I already told you, I said, look, I receive my billions of dollars. I'm not even going to hold you. I receive it. I'm learning how to steward you know, the little that I have now, so that when you give it to me, I'm gonna be ready to rock. These are the ministries and businesses that money will go to. These are the artists it will help. Like, I'll be having conversations like that because I'm like, you have to prepare the place for God to bless. It's just like a woman about to have a baby. You know, you're gonna go, you're gonna clean, you're getting all what the things you need. It's like, God, if you're birthing something in me, I'm about to get ready. You know what I'm saying? Because we got to act like it, you know, trust God in that way. So I'm just like, I know who I am now in God. I believe it now. So I think that's the little thing right there. It's like, I've always believed God because he never left me, even in, deep in my sin, you know, he never left me. Like, I got you. I got you.
So good.
For sure. So yeah. Ooh. So we are here trusting each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But these are the people. And I'm gonna be honest with you, and some Christians might not like this, but the trust in God, it's a universal law, you know. So when you have worldly people who they be believing God,
they're
not even following.
Come on.
They be believing God. And God be trusting them with stuff. And we over here like, how they just.
Yep.
Because they trust him. And God will be like, go. And they go. And then they get. And we over here stuck because we don't like the way the person look at the bank. Or we don't want to do the thing. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I don't feel like driving an hour and a half to go put in an application. Okay. Yeah, but we'll know the faith by the works. And it's not about the works. It's just, this is the way the system is designed. Yeah. If I know you really believe what I say by how fast you move, like, we're going to make it he's so easy. This is what be getting me. Like, we don't have like a contract we got to sign with Jesus. It's just kind of like, ready for this relationship?
Here it is.
I'm pro. It is like that. So if we treat it like that, instead of like a microwave transactional thing, we'd be better off, you know? Wow. Oh, I need you, God. We on our face one day crying. Oh, fix it, God. Oh, yeah. My first fruits, God. Hear my first child, God. It's like, no. Let's just build the relationship. You know what I'm saying? You know, I ask you to do this, you do it, you know? That's it.
Very good.
It's not complicated.
Yeah. Y'all see, we could go on with this one
We could go on. But obedience, that is the answer.
Just
being Thank obedient, you. Man.
And saying yes, giving God your yes. Like,
that's it.
Well, that is obedience, but giving God your yes. So,
yeah.
Latoya, you have anything else for Becoming before we
Sorry,
transition on? I'm like, my Lord, we could, I feel like
just cut me off. You just got to be like, okay, guys, that was good.
No,
okay,
look, when you come.
You have dropped like so many gems and words of wisdom and tips and all the things that you have shared in your transparent and authentic testimony on our episode today. So I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you. Listen, I was just excited to come on here and see what y'all are talking about today. I was like, so what are we talking about?
We're talking about you today. That's what we're talking about. Come on now. Come on. But no, seriously, we got to have you back next time you're in the A or in, you know, in the studio. Let us know because we would love to,
I would love
to have you back. Yeah.
Absolutely. For anytime. For sure.
Yes. Well, Toya, you want to take us on into Noble Character?
Yeah. So we have a segment called Noble Character. And typically, we like to give our guests an opportunity to recognize a woman in their life or in their community that has inspired them or impacted them in some type of way. But today, Dice Noble, we are recognizing you as woman of noble character for all of the transparency and the different things that you are doing for the community, all the different initiatives, the CHH University, all of your albums, podcasting. You are evangelizing essentially through all those different ways. So we want to recognize you as a woman of noble character.
Yes. I love that. Well, God bless the both of you. Okay. A hundredfold. I appreciate that. Like all glory to God, for sure, for sure. But thank you though. I received that wonderful compliment. That's a beautiful thing. I'm glad you guys do that. That is so awesome.
Thank you for blazing a trail. Like you have blazed a trail, but not only that, but you are reaching back to help the next generation. Like I literally, LaToya and I were talking about this. And you may not even know this, but when y'all were filming a season of Squad TV, Tiana Gunn performed at a women's conference. It's about a year ago, literally. We were hosting that conference.
Yeah.
So y'all came in rolling deep, number one. So that was beautiful to just see all these wonderful women, powerhouses in CHH come and support one another. But I mean, you were like serving. You were like patting her eyebrow or make her forehead or making sure, you know what I mean? Like literally getting her water, making sure. I was like, this is a legend. She don't be like what you need, sugar. Like for real.
These are my babies.
Thank you. Like modeling out what it is to like represent Christ on and off the stage. Like
thank you. I love serving.
Amazing.
It's the number one thing to keep you humble. For those of you, you know, hey, you feel yourself getting a little too high. Yeah, go do something for somebody else, you know. Like we should be doing those self you know, I call it a self inventory. Actually, I have a book called Game Changer coming out and I got all these things in it. Yeah. Like, you know, we should be doing that daily. Just, you know, really searching ourselves just to see how God can better use us or where we need to like sharpen a skill. But serving always puts you right back where you need to be, walking in gratefulness and thankfulness. And you actually are leading, you know, as you're serving. I think some people don't get that. It's like, you know, leaders, you're the first one to go do, you know, you should be anyway. Mm-hmm. So I love it every single time somebody has an event or something, I'll say, what do you need? Because I don't necessarily need a microphone. I can go in the kitchen and do stuff. You know, I can help you get all the trash. Like, because why not? You know what I'm saying? Like,
amen.
Like we're in this together. You know, if I got on white, I might not say that, but, I'm just saying, if I got on any other color, I'm available. But yeah, we need to get it in and just, we can get complacent, you know, and especially for people who sit in the chairs we sit in, you can be like, it's easy to be like, well, if we're going somewhere, I'm not going to have eyes to see what you need because I'm on task. You know what I'm saying? But if you do have that downtime, I find people appreciate it. You know, like when you're out and about, you're doing your thing, but you turn around and say, hey, you need some help carrying that to the car? And DJs always need some help. They stay needing help packing stuff in and out. But yeah, we can just do better, man, as the body of Christ. You know, like I said, be in the hands and feet. You know, we don't miss out on our blessings. Like I'll take you back to Haiti since you brought it up. And, I was irritated because we had a women's conference at this church and I'm outside the church. They put me on wash feet duty. Right. So we doing the whole scripture of Jesus washing Judas's feet or whatever we doing. I'm fussing, you know, I'm be honest with you. Cause I didn't practice my songs. You know what I'm saying? I done brought the clothes. I'm wearing a skirt. You know, I don't want to do that, but I had to do it. Cause we missionaries out here, you know what I'm saying? So I'm beside myself. I'm like,
I don't want to do that.
Who had the audacity to have me out here in this Haiti heat? You know what I'm saying? Washing your feet. And here's the deal. Half of them didn't have no shoes. So this ain't a clean. Like they just, okay. So I'm quiet. Just praying that God will keep me humble. As I hear the music playing, the women are having a ball. I'm used to having a microphone. I'm out here like, dear God, what did I do to you? And like, I'm telling you, like I was going through it because I'm miles away from home. I done risked my life to get over here, you know?
Wow.
So I'm just on one. Like if I got to die, why I got to die like this? So... girl, we be going back and forth. These are my prayers. These are my true prayers. Like, we be going back and forth, girl. Like, I know God, like, Jesus, my child is off the chain. So then this little boy comes up and he's got a cut on his foot. And I knew we had like the little nursing station back on this compound I was staying on. And I was like, oh, so now my heart is getting softened. So I go and I get the band-aids and all that. I get him cleaned up, right? I get a tap on my shoulder. People stay tapping me in ministry. I'm like, Lord, what I do now? So one of the ministers was with me, this lady, she said, the lady on the end wants you to have a seat because she wants to wash your feet. I'm telling you, undone in the moment of, I was leading silently by my action, by me being obedient. They said, you go outside and you wash feet, right? I'm telling you where my heart was, but I knew to trust God and trust my leader. So I took my behind on outside and I'm washing feet, wearing something I don't want to have on out in a place I don't want to be. I can't even talk to people because they speak a totally different language. Yeah. And I'm like, dang, why I'm here. I came on this mission trip because I need to be in there doing my rap songs for people that can't understand English, right? But I'm beside myself, but I'm trusting God. And I'm doing everything with care, you know what I'm saying? Because I get it. And when the lady switched with me and washed my feet, I said, man, God, I am asking for your forgiveness in this moment. You know what I'm saying? I absolutely repent and I get it. And it was the whole reason why we were showing up was to show them how to love. You know what I'm saying? And in that moment, I was like, you just got to keep trusting God when it feels weird, when it's frustrating, when it's uncomfortable, when you didn't go there for that reason, you still serve. God is going to bless you. And that's exactly what happened in that moment, you know. And that's exactly, you know, Jesus was washing people's feet, even Judas's feet. Like, he knew the thing. He was like, I'm on task right now. And I was called to be on task that day. And I just thank God that they didn't know how, they couldn't see my heart. You know what I'm saying? But I thank God also that I know to just keep pushing when you feel like you don't want to. There's something on the other side of it. So, yeah. So it's just, man, it's a beautiful walk when we walk with him and trust him. And I think we've painted this picture in the church that it has to look so perfect. It doesn't. You got to be so happy. You don't, but you do need to be obedient and respect people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You do need that. It's okay to feel a type. I told somebody this the other day. I said, it's okay to be angry with God. Let's stop acting like we're not human. We have the emotions. God, I'm angry. I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. I want to give you my hurt so you'll give me your peace, but I'm struggling with releasing the hurt. I'm struggling. So bring people into my life that will help me, show me ways that I can release the hurt, because right now I just want to hold on to it. You know, I just want to hold on to it, and, you know, because I'm upset and I feel like I'm doing something to them, even though I'm not. I'm just in a prison of unforgiveness. I don't lock myself in here, right? But it's okay to express how you feel and know that God hears you. And when you're being true, that's when he really will get you in that breakthrough, where it's like, now we can get to it. Because now you ain't fronting like you perfect, and you ain't fronting like you got it all together, and you know your whole Bible back and forth, and you, now you're not fronting. Now you're showing me, I'm really stuck in pride. Now I can help you. But as long as you keep lying, it's just like when you go to these addiction things, the first step is admittance. You got to admit, I need you. You know, I know I'm not where I should be. Yeah. And these are the things I know, you know what I'm saying? I'll ask the Holy Spirit to search me and pull up whatever else, but I know I need to lay these things on the table. I just said it the other day. I was like, what are the rooms you don't want God to go into? You know, what are the areas of your life that you keep him out of? And you know that if you offer it up, he would just fix it.
Yeah.
But your pride, however you got there, you just stuck. Maybe you don't want to admit something, or maybe you feel ashamed, or maybe you feel guilty, or maybe you just were ignorant to something. Yeah. Like, when do you say, I just need to give all this to you? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm tired of carrying it. So I will come and lay it at the foot of the cross. I want to rest in your arms, and let's get back to you being my father and caring for me. And then I know you're big enough and strong enough to pick all that up and take that baggage on somewhere. Amen. Yeah, because I wasn't designed to carry that, you know? So that's why I was like, I love being in a season of trusting God, but also learning that you're free in Christ. That was the whole point, was so you would get free, not continue to be locked into the old version of you. It's like, no, I'm new. Like, you might've met me last week and I'm new. You might've seen me yesterday, but I'm not the same. Oh God, I'm not the same. I'm a bigger, better version of me. If we would have had this yesterday. And that's how we should be, that's how we should be growing in our relationship with Christ, you know? But it's that trust factor of, God, I trust you with my life. because that's what it is at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. So it shouldn't be this midday. Okay, let me shut the door and get you out of here. And then I'm gonna go do what I want to do. And then I come back tonight when it's time to pray. No, thank you. You will be with me and I will have you in the headlock and you're just going to be mad at me, Jesus, because we're pulling up. We're just, Yeah, you want your sandals? You better come on. Like you going with me today. Like we need to own it. And that's what he's waiting for us to do is say, I got you. You know what I'm saying? But do you got me though? You know what I'm saying? Like, what we doing?
Wow.
I don't mind going before you, but I just, when I look back, I want to make sure you came through the door with me, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's when the miracles happen. That's when, like I said, breakthrough happens. That's when you get free. And when people see that freedom on you, they want that. They're like, oh, I want to be that free. Oh, no. Because I've been waiting to unload some stuff that's been heavy on my heart. Like, how do I do that again? I had one of my life group leaders, her name was Beth. And my husband and I had just gone through, are we going to get a divorce? You know, now, you know, you got this adultery in the thing. I told her one day, she said, how are you and your husband doing? I was like, we're not.
Easy. We're not.
What do you mean? I said, I've forgiven him. I've even forgiven myself. Right. I just don't want to be with him. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, I want to be with him, but I just don't want to have sex with him. And she was like, oh, because you're still hurt. I said, honestly, I ain't even hurt because I saw the girl. You know what I'm saying? But my point is, I feel cheated a little bit here. Like, you know what I'm saying? And she said, well, I'm going to tell you this. Whatever you don't have, you get to go ask God for. She said, so I'm just going to suggest that one, that is your husband, you know, and two, if you say you forgave him, you forgave him. And three, y'all have been going to counseling and all those things. And four, if he is still attracted to you, that's a good thing. And five, you need to put forth the effort. Now, here's the thing. You get to pray about it. God, give me the want to want my husband. God, I need the want to want my husband. Blew my mind because I was sitting here like, I just wanted to be stuck in my, I'm going to be over here. I'm going to be right here. Yeah, because you didn't. Yeah, I'm over here. So I don't know how we're going to make this work for the next 55 years, but I'm just going to be over here stuck on stupid, right? Like we both was virgins when we met, right? Okay. So I was like, the day she told me, you do know you can ask God for what you need, right? I didn't know. I heard that, but I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, God, I've been missing out. Not just in my relationship. But now I'm like, oh, God, I want to pray. Just show me something really freaky to do tonight to where his brain is like, I don't even want to leave to go to work tomorrow. Prayers are reckless now. I'm like, ooh. And then I come back, I'm like, thank you, God. You knew the glow sticks. And like, I'll be like, I just like, God, you just be doing.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So now the prayers are like that. But also that translated into every other area of my life. When it was time to serve, God, I don't have the energy, Lord. Please give me your power right now. You know, like offering up the thing that I had and just exchange it really fast. You know, just God, I need you to, you know what I'm saying? Woo de woo, because I've only slept for 2 hours. Like, please give me a supernatural piece of energy that doesn't involve coffee or anything like that. Just you, I believe you for it. When I hit the stage, I trust you for all of my words that I totally lost right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, but just offering up the thing, God, I just really have a lot of anger right now. I want to give it to you right now. I may still need to process it later, but I want to give it to you right now because I want to be in the family reunion with a smile on my face and they just see you, not my anger. You know what I'm saying? And if it comes back, God, I'll give it back to you again. But it's like, that's the way the heart works. But turns out, ladies, that's the way the brain works. You have to create a new neural pathway. You have to have a new experience to erase the old one. And you got to keep doing it. You know, that's why I tell you, when you're in a relationship, it might take you longer to get over the person after you break up, because it takes you a while to replace all the memories. So it's easier to just be up front and give God all the things. Just sit there every single day. God, I need to give you that. Ooh, Lord. Oh, the way I feel about that person, I need to get that to you right now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I want to offer them up to you. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and pray for their family if I feel like I'm mad at them, because you can't pray for people and still be mad at them. That's the magic of our faith is like, when I pray for you, I'm praying for you, like sincerely praying for you, like that you're blessed, you're in good health, your children are successful, your business is successful.
Amen.
People offend you. Yeah, because you release them.
Amen.
Sorry, Toy. I know I'd be going. I know she'd be like,
Dice, you just came in here talking about a glow stick.
Glow stick.
It's official. Look, you come up next time you come back, you co-hosting, because we'd have just scratched the surface. She over here talking. I said, Lord, okay, but go ahead.
That's what I need.
Better have some fun. I'm trying to tell you, and I told somebody, I said, this is like the most. It was all from God, man. It was like, okay, y'all gonna turn them lights out. You're gonna go get you about four packs of them glow sticks, crack them bad boys open in the bathroom, put them together. I did the big ones for the neck. I put some around my waist, put some on your wrist, and then we turn the lights off. And I'm telling you, it's a whole party for less than $5. You can go to the dollar store, but these marriages, especially the kingdom ones, need to be spiced up a little bit. And they don't have to be like reckless like any porno. But yes, as you're in it, you want to have fun. Like, just like, let's have fun. It don't have to be boring. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can turn up. So let's turn up and surprise each other.
I don't have nothing else to say. Go ahead, Toya. Close it out.
I ain't got nothing else to say.
Don't forget, Becoming Eva audience, make sure you get your merch at becomingevatoday.com, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. It's been a good one with Dice Gamble.
So good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Follow her on all social media platforms.
Everywhere. Dice Gamble. Do it. I dare you. And I know you're pushing y'all merch too. I better go over there to the merch store over here.
Yeah.
Listen, go ahead. becomingevatoday.com. Please go get your merch. For sure. Y'all pull up. I need a shirt, ladies.
We got you.
We gonna shirt swap.
Yes. I love it. We coming out with some new designs, so we got you. But
we need to do a code shirt. Let's just get it in. We just do a code shirt and just go and take it to the next level. Yeah. With girl power. Okay. It's going to be a CHH University and a Becoming Eva shirt, and it's going to be crazy.
I'm down.
Let's just go.
I love it. We didn't put it out there, so we got to follow through.
We're doing this. It's a wrap.
I love it.
Ladies, thank you so much. It's been nothing but an honor being on here. I know I overtalked my whole interview.
You have any final words of wisdom? You've been dropping gems left and right, so I'm like, we got more than enough, but anything you want to say in closing?
I would say we need to love people better, you know, but the Bible's very clear, you know, first love God and love your neighbor. But the only way you're going to really know how to love your neighbors, you're going to learn to love yourself, you know. So as you're learning what it means to love God, you know, you'll learn to love yourself. And I think if we get better with that, we'll know how to treat people, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like if we remember all the love and the grace, you know, and when we were yet sinners, you know, he still loved us, and really treating people that way, I think we'll get a lot more done for the kingdom. So just keep on loving folk. That's
Amen.
It.
Give it up for Dice Gamble.
Hey, ladies, absolute thank y'all.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Ladies.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.